Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of God tonight. It's exciting to be able to speak on the healing ministry of our Lord, gifts of healing from the Word of God. The Lord is decidedly wanting to heal His people, strengthen us. I believe that one of the greatest needs in the body of Christ today in North America is the need of healing of the bodies of God's people. Because when we're sick and hampered by ailment, it's difficult to fulfill the will of God. And sometimes we walk in darkness. And I believe the Lord wants to help us understand the healing realms and the healing ministry tonight. And let's open up our hearts to the Word of God. We have Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the ministry of our Lord, anointed of the Holy Spirit, doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Then we have 1 Corinthians 12:1, where the Apostle Paul said to the churches, now concerning spiritual gifts, it's one word in the Greek language, pneumatica, the spirituals, concerning the spirituals or the supernaturals. And he mentions nine gifts of the Spirit, and of course these are very distinct, a special group. We have many giftings and callings, the Bible says, as members of the body of Christ. But these specific nine spirituals or supernaturals are to be a mix in all of our ministries, all of our life. And a part of these nine, as we look at 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, we see we have the gifts of healings. We have the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings. To another, the workings, again, it's in the plural. Gifts of healings, workings of miracles, in the plural, in the Greek language. Prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These are the wonderful supernaturals of the Lord. And they are to flow into our lives and be a part of our work and part of our ministry, part of our families and our homes, part of our personal lives, that there is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit through us, and that we are aware of it, and that the power of God is present in our lives. The gifts of healings are divine enablements to heal the sick, apart from medical cures and human skill and natural means. Divine enablements. And the Lord has these gifts of healings for us as we make our way through this life. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're in touch of a physical healing. You need the touch of the Lord in your body. Then open up to the Word of God in a fresh way and receive the promises of the Lord. Perhaps you're here and you've struggled for some time with a physical ailment and you've become discouraged and passive. The Lord wants to stir up your heart today and stir up your faith tonight that you trust the Lord because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not a respecter of persons. And I believe the Lord wants to teach us concerning the healing realms in our own body, in our own life, that we experience the healings of the Lord, but at times where we're being processed and we don't see an immediate manifestation, that we receive an understanding, a discerning of what we're going through, of the process of the Lord, so that we don't forsake the Lord and walk away from His promises. So tonight I want to remind you of some of the promises of the Lord. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And the psalmist lists seven benefits, and the first two are who forgives all your iniquities. And the second is who heals all your diseases. He forgives all our sins and He heals all our diseases. Let's put a fresh trust in the Lord. Let's surrender to the Lord, knowing He is at work in our lives. Exodus 15 and 26, the Lord made the great covenant promise, Jehovah Rophe, I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you. And as the people came out of Egypt, the Lord delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt that night from under Pharaoh's power. The Bible says they applied the blood of the lamb to their houses, and Then they went out from under the bondage, under the life of sin. They went out to, as free people, into the presence of God and to walk with God. Psalm 105:37 says that he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among the tribes. Not one feeble person among the tribes. 1.5 to 2 million people. No family was making a makeshift cot for Grandma that night so they could carry her out. Grandma came under the healing power of God just like everyone else, and she walked out under her own strength. The power of the Lord present to heal. Isaiah chapter 53, we know the promise of the Lord. Suffering Messiah, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew says, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, mental and emotional anguish, but also the pains of sickness. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and our pains, and with his stripes we are healed. We are healed. Matthew chapter 8 is such a beautiful illustration of Isaiah 53. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That's how Matthew interpreted by the Spirit Isaiah 53. So we know that Isaiah 53 isn't simply talking about spiritual healing, the healing of our sins, of our iniquities, but very much so that the Lord is interested in healing our bodies. That was fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The presence of the Lord upon his people to bring healing. We look into the book of Acts and we find the early church operated in this wonderful dimension of the Lord. In Acts 5 and verse 13, let me read these words to you. It says, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Astounding words. They began to carry the people from the towns and villages around Jerusalem. Now, not to Jesus, but the apostles in that early church that was operating in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says they were healed, everyone. Healed, everyone. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord has a wonderful ministry to touch our bodies and to touch our lives in this life, in this world. There are other medical means. There are other healing realms, doctors and diet, but I'm not talking about doctors and diet tonight. I'm talking about divine healing. Now let's look at Mark chapter 6. These are some of the most astounding words that you can read in all of Scripture. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth. He came and he stood in the synagogue and he said to them, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the beggarly, those that are bankrupt in spirit. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to bring the healing ministry, to set at liberty them that are bruised. But look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. The people of his own town said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Brother of James and Joses and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. He could do there no mighty work, laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. Now you might say, well, Jesus can do anything. Jesus can do anything. Well, apparently not. Obviously not. Say, Jesus should be able to walk into any church, any synagogue, any place, any town, and heal the sick, everyone. Apparently not. And it shows us how critical is our response and our cooperation with the Lord in the healing dimension. That we have a believing spirit, that our faith is built up, that we have expectation, that we look to the promises of God, that we don't flag in spirit, but we trust the living God, and we put our heart and our believing spirit into the cause of Jesus Christ, into his healing ministry, into who he has. There must be a believing response. As the Lord said to the centurion, or of the centurion, I have not found so great faith, not in all Israel. There were times that there was sovereign healing of the Lord and sovereign ministry, but on many occasions Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So we understand that we must build our faith. We must grow in our faith. We must take in the word of God. We must bring our spirits in line with the spirit of the Lord. This wonderful healing ministry of the Lord. But Jesus was hindered in his own hometown. Now there are three reasons tonight I want to bring you why we need healing. Number one, because we live in mortal bodies. These are the bodies of our humiliation. These are the bodies of lowliness. They are affected by sin, by the fall, by the brokenness in this world. And we need the healing of the Lord. These bodies are subject to wear and tear. They're subject to injury at times. They're subject to certain ailments and aging and certain sicknesses that come and go. And we need the healing power of the Lord. Now Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Not your immortal body. Here's the promise for now. Oh, it'll touch us at the resurrection of the dead. But the Bible says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive or quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that is in you. So we know the Lord wants to touch our mortal bodies now and bring a manifestation of healing. There will be a day when we come into our glorified state at the resurrection of the dead, at the second coming of Christ. And these vile bodies of our humiliation will be changed into the likeness of our Lord's glorified, resurrected body. And all sickness and all pain and all crying and all tears will be forever put away. That day is coming. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. But even now, the Lord has not left us without hope. He said, the Holy Spirit that dwells in you will quicken your mortal body. So we call on these promises of the Lord, and we contend for these promises of the Lord. One of the reasons we need healing is because we live in mortal bodies, and the Lord understands that. Second reason we need healing is to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You say, is all sickness satanic? Can it be attributed directly to Satan? No, but some can. And I believe more than we would readily accept or admit. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There is attack, as we know, in their temptation of our spiritual life into our mind and soul. And there is attack of the enemy against our bodies, and it's very real. Permitted of the Lord at times, as we see in the great case, the classic example of Job in the Bible, that the Lord permitted a satanic attack on his life because the Lord was processing Job. The Lord wanted to bring him to a place of a double portion, increase his understanding and revelation of spiritual things, take him from glory to glory, from faith to faith, teach him how to war and battle, teach him how to fight the good fight of faith. And the Lord permitted the attack of Satan to come through to Job, and it was in the area even of his physical body. Now, Job had to rise up with his faith, and he had to believe the word of God, even though his wife and his friends were disparaging in their remarks, curse God and die. Can you imagine when that sickness came on Job, if he would have lain down on the ash heap and said, I curse God and die. I'm not going to contend for anything. No, he held to faith. He held to faith. He began to resist the devil. He began to work out some new theology in his life. He began to work out some spiritual understanding. What is happening to me? Why have all these circumstances come? And in the midst of resisting Satan, he was submitting to God. And look at the glorious day that the Lord brought him into. We need understanding. We need revelation. When we're going through circumstances or sicknesses, Lord, teach me. Show me what you're trying to have me learn. Bring me a greater victory. Bring a greater warfare in me against the enemy. Teach me your ways in these times. Jesus went into the house of Simon Peter's wife's mother. And there she was, laid on a bed. And she was severely overcome with a fever. Now in this case, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus rebuked the fever, and she rose up and ministered to them. There was a satanic attack in that place because he rebuked the enemy. He rebuked the spirit of sickness in her life. Not in all cases, but in that one he did. In Luke 13, Jesus was in the synagogue, and there was a woman. Can you imagine? A woman of faith, but under such an attack of the enemy that the Bible says she was bowed double. She was bent over double, and for 18 years, this situation had come upon her, where her back and her bones began to press upon her, and she came to the point where she was bowed double. Can you imagine walking around all day and trying to look after responsibilities? And Jesus looked at her, and he said, "Woman, be loosed of your infirmity. Be loosed." There was a captivity there. This wasn't something simply natural that happened to a person. And then he said these words, "Should I not loose this daughter of Abraham whom Satan has bound? Should I not loose this daughter of Abraham?" This was a woman of faith, but there had been an attack of the enemy against her body, manifested in her body. I remember a few years ago, my maternal grandmother, who was in her early 90s at the time. Now, it doesn't matter if you're 2 or you're 92. If you need physical healing, you want the presence of God on your life. My grandmother came to one of the church services. She attended another church in this city, ethnic church at that time. But she came to our church because we had a healing night and a healing ministry in our church, and she wanted to be healed. Say, "Oh, grandma's in her early 90s. Leave her alone. Why waste the healing on her? She's going to heaven soon." When you're in pain, you want healing. And my grandmother's fingers and hands were taken over by arthritis, and it was in her shoulders. And it was so painful, and her hands were being twisted, and the fingers were misshapen. And she came up to be prayed for, and I was standing beside our visiting healing evangelist, Tony Allward, and he took her by the hands, and he began to pray. And all of a sudden, there was a struggle, and he was wrestling in the spirit, and he was contending against Satan and against the spirit of infirmity. And after a minute, there was a calm. And it was over. And my grandmother walked out of that service, and in the next 2 or 3 days, all the pain and arthritis went out of her hands and her shoulders, and she lived another 4 or 5 years till she was 96 without any pain. I stood there and said, how can, how can, How can physical bondage like that, how can attack of Satan come against such a godly woman? But there are attacks of Satan. There is warfare against our bodies. And there are some times when we face sickness in our bodies and, you know, we're testing out before the Lord. I need to discern this. Sometimes it's simply natural causes and we feel that. But sometimes you can identify, because the Lord gives discernment, this is a spiritual attack against my body. And we war in a different way. We war in a different way. Some circumstances are more natural, and some circumstances have an enemy attack in them. There was a day that the wind swept down on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were overcome with fear that they would perish and lose their lives. Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. He rebuked the wind and the waves. There was a satanic clash that night. And sometimes our circumstances have a satanic attack in them. And we must be wise and understand and war in a different level at those times. Sometimes sickness is a satanic attack. Sometimes circumstances are a satanic attack. I know several ministers. They're still alive today. They're in their mid-80s. Ministering in communist Cuba a few decades ago. The underground churches under the veil of communism, and they were there ministering to the hidden churches. And as they stood in the meetings, there was such a pain attack in their legs that they could hardly stand in the meetings. Now, I know these people. They could hardly stand in the meetings, and they had to sit down, and they said to their host pastors, what's happening? There's such pain in our legs. And they said, oh yes, there are demons in this area that attack the legs of visiting ministers. It was common knowledge to them. Common knowledge to them. There are attacks of the enemy. And at times we must heighten our awareness in the spiritual realm to what is taking place in our life and in our family and in our own bodies. I told you in recent weeks of the situation that I've been facing starting July 14th, and I want to add an update on that tonight. July 14th, as I mentioned last Sunday, my left knee became extremely painful, excruciating. Now, I said I've had my left knee healed miraculously in 1993 when I was to go for surgery, but the Lord healed me in an instant. And I had my left knee. My right knee was healed in 2007 after 10 months of seeking the Lord and claiming the promises. And one day the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that on a certain day I would be healed. My knee would be healed. And according to the word of the Lord, on that day my knee was healed. And I've never had a problem with my right knee or my left. July 14th, pain came into my right knee. Now I said I thought when my knees were touched by the Lord that I was good till the resurrection of the dead. Or am I going to meet the Lord? And so I didn't know what this is. I came against lying symptoms at first. And I'm, of course, when there's pain, you know, I'm saying bones live in the name of Jesus. And I'm speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit over my ailment and my pain. It was Friday. I said, oh, I can't wait till Sunday. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. If I can just get into the presence of God with his people, if I can get into the holy mountain, if I can ascend the heights of Zion and be in the presence of God like Moses when he went up on the Mount of God, his face glowed and his eyesight was never dimmed and his natural force was not diminished. 120 years old in full strength because he was in that divine presence of God. There's no death in the cloud of God's glory. I thought, if I can get into the presence of God. So I went into the prayer room and I lifted my hands to the Lord and began to call on the Lord, and I felt the presence of God and the relief come into my knee. And I ministered that Sunday without any discomfort. And I thought, my Lord, your presence is so beautiful. After the meetings and then for the next 18 days, I fought that pain in my left knee. Day after day, I'd waken in the night and for an hour toss and turn because I couldn't get relief. I couldn't get comfort. During the day, I prayed over my knee 40 and 50 times, trying to get in and out of vehicle, trying to do anything. You just want to sit there because that aching pain wears you out. And those of you who have chronic pain in some part of your body or have had, you know what I mean. If I had to go to the store, I looked for the parking spot closest to the door. And I could barely walk. Now, 2 years ago, I felt the Lord encourage me that I should walk 4 kilometers a day. And so I've been doing that most days as I can. I said to Deb, I'm going to go out for a walk, and I could walk 40, 50 meters, and the pain was so intense I had to stop. The grinding, the pain was so excruciating. I couldn't go on. I stood there for a minute, and I prayed over my knee. I turned around, and I'd limp back to the house and sit in my chair. That's how difficult my days were. And this went on for 21 days, and I'm calling on the Lord, seeking to find some discernment, understanding. Is this an attack of the devil? What is going on? Because you know that in the last few weeks, I've had a fresh stirring of the Lord to bring to the house of God the truths of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, complete with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, signs and wonders, and the supernatural. And I thought, this is happening at the same time that I'm working through these doctrines afresh and through these truths of the Lord. So on the 21 days after, on August 4th, we were out fellowshipping with my brother and Deb's sister, brothers married sisters, and I felt so stirred in my heart that we should talk about the goodness of the Lord. And I began to tell them about, you know, we began to talk again about how God had visited our family, my maternal grandmother and my dad and my mom, and how they had been filled with the Holy Spirit, even though they came out of Lutheran and Baptist and evangelical backgrounds, how they had been wonderfully filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues, and there was this release in their life, and how the power of God began to rest in a fresh new way on our family, and how my brothers and I and filled with the Holy Spirit, and what a wonderful experience, and began to talk about the goodness of the Lord and the miracles that had happened in our family. And that night, as we conversed about that and other things mixed in, but as we were talking about the Lord and glorifying the Lord and who He is and what He does for us, I felt the pain go out of my knee that night. And the next day I went golfing, and the day after that I walked 4 kilometers, and the day after that I walked kilometers, and I was pain-free. And I know the Lord taught me one of the healing realms right there, healing avenues. And I'm going to minister on that next Sunday morning, amongst other things. And for 6 days, I was pain-free. No pain. You can barely walk, and the next morning you get up and you can walk like nothing ever happened to you. And oh, I praise the Lord, and I rejoice. 6 days pain-free. And then I came off vacation, and I came that Friday, that's a week ago Friday, and I came to the office to prepare the messages again on the baptism of the Spirit and the power of God and for His people, the demonstration and manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we'd live lives full of the Holy Spirit. As I got up that morning and drove to the office and came in, went to the prayer room, all of a sudden that pain came back into my knee. Now, that was last weekend on Friday. And I said last Sunday, as I stood, I said, this pain came into my knee Friday. It's now Sunday. I'm struggling with this pain from Friday to Sunday. And some of you came and prayed for me on Sunday and lifted me up. And I know as a church you did. But I want to tell you something very interesting that happened. Sunday night after the meeting, I went out for fellowship. And Sunday night after the ministry was over for the weekend, the pain went out of my knee on last Sunday evening, and has not returned. I thought, isn't that something? Friday, I come to prepare the message and seek the Lord for the weekend. Sunday ministry is here. I'm fighting this pain. I'm fighting this acute pain in my knee. When the ministry is over for the weekend, the pain lifts, and I walk out as if nothing ever happened to me. I believe there's two things going on right now. Number one, the Lord is, in my own life, showing me the attack of Satan that comes, the resistance to the work, the resistance to our forward progress. If we kind of just sit status quo and not really press into God too much and everything just kind of stays the same, we live our casual Christianity, maybe not much will change. But if you start to try to advance and go against the enemy and gain some ground and bring some emphasis to the Holy Spirit and to the gospel, you can be sure that the enemy is not going to take it lying down. And that's one thing the Lord showed me. And I thank the Lord because it confirms to me the truths of the gospel, the truths of the Holy Spirit, the truths of the Lord. But the other side of it is, I believe the Lord is seeking to sensitize our lives afresh to the healing ministry, to signs and wonders, to the work of the Lord, to the blessing of God, to destroy the works of the devil. And that brings me to point three, physical healing. One of the reasons for physical healing is to validate and to confirm the reality of the spiritual world. See, these occurrences in the last few weeks have opened my eyes afresh to the spiritual world. Sometimes we walk along and we don't really discern, we don't really have our eyes open. But when the Lord begins to move in manifestation, we understand and see the spiritual world in a greater way. In Luke chapter 5, some men came with their paralyzed friend. They wanted to bring him to Jesus, for Jesus to heal this man. And as they came to the house where Jesus was, the house was packed with people, and they were standing at the doors and outside the doors, so much so that no one could even get in the door. And these men took their friend up the back steps of the house, tore apart the tiling on the flat roof, and let their friend down into the presence of Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, these men, you know, had been praying, if we can just get to Jesus, they're calling on the promises of God. They have a believing spirit. If we can get this man into the presence of Jesus, he's going to be made whole. And they let him down. Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Scribes and Pharisees, religionists there, said, Who does this man think he is to say he can forgive sins? And then Jesus said these words. Whether is easier to forgive sins or heal sicknesses? I remind the Lord of that when I'm facing sickness. Which is easier, Lord? Not harder. Which is easier for you? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he says unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your couch, your bed, and go to your house. That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. One of the reasons that Jesus wants to bring healing into our bodies, heal our family members, bring healing into the church, is to validate the spiritual realm. Many of the truths that we speak about and live in are in the invisible realm. Redemption and sanctification and the Holy Spirit and worship. These are all spiritual ministries we have, and we're operating by faith because we don't visibly see these realms. But when Jesus Christ heals our body, we have something in the physical that validates the spiritual realm. That you may know that I have power to forgive sins. Here, I'm going to heal your body. And when we are touched by the Lord and we are healed physically and there are miracles that happen in our lives and families, my, does it put a wonderful assurance into us of the gospel, of the truths of redemption, of who Jesus Christ is, of his power, of his work. Our sons and daughters need to see the signs and wonders of the Lord. They need to partake of miracles in our homes and in our lives so they grow up saying, what a mighty God we serve. How glorious is the Lord? Who is like unto the Lord our God? When you consider the Father and the Son, how the Father set forth his Son into the world. The Bible says in Acts 2:22, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. A man approved of God, validated, authenticated by miracles and wonders and signs. Miracles are the power. The wonder is the astonishment of those that see the power of God in operation, and the sign points you to the spiritual world, to a spiritual reality. God validated Jesus' ministry. Jesus operated in miracles, signs, and wonders, and what happened? The people believed. The people believed. Many saw the works that he did, and they believed. They said, this must be Messiah, and they followed him. Miracles, signs, and wonders are one of the great attractions and magnets to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need them in our day and age, in this particular land and nation, where we have to get beyond debate with people and beyond the verbal communication of the gospel, that the power of God would touch people's lives, they'd be changed and say, this is real, this is the power of God. There is a Savior, there is a Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, 11, as the people, some of the religious leaders and were against him, and he said, you know, do you not believe that I've come from the Father? He said, if you don't believe my words, then believe me for the work's sake. For the work's sake. That those works of Jesus Christ proved who he was and proved the spiritual world and how much God wanted to touch people and change their lives and minister to them. I look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. When the early church was up against opposition, the political authorities were trying to stop the gospel message, the name of Jesus Christ. The religionists, apostate Judaism, nominal Christianity, trying to oppose the gospel and downplay the gospel and the work of Jesus Christ. And these in our day, and these believers got together and they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto your servants that with boldness we may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child, the Emmanuel child, Jesus. Lord, grant us boldness. Behold the threatenings. We need boldness to preach your words and stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of the Emmanuel child, Jesus Christ the Lord. We need that in our lives. And I think we should take every opportunity when we're ministering or speaking to people that if they say something about their body or some condition, could I pray for you? Let's allow the Lord. Let's give the Lord an opportunity to minister to people and to prove to them the reality of the spiritual world. Why do pagan cultures follow idols and false gods? Say, how could some tribes and regions of the world be so engulfed in darkness, such bondage under such oppressive powers of darkness? How do they follow these false religions and these idols? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, now concerning supernaturals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. People that had been saved out from witchcraft and sorcery and the occult and false religions. Why do people follow these false religions? If they are dumb idols, they're just statues sitting there. They can't speak. They have no expression. Why do people follow them? Because there are demon powers behind them that bring forth lying signs and wonders. They're lying wonders, curses and things that take place, some violent things that take place under occult powers. And people are impressed by that and fear under that and say, we must serve these powers. And so those demonic spirits take hold of a culture and a world. People wouldn't follow them if there was no power behind them. It's the signs and the wonders that prove there's a spiritual world. Now, there's a false spiritual world, and that's what I've just mentioned. But how much more does the God of heaven want to show himself in his mercy and his love and his grace and his kindness? No longer lying wonders, but true wonders, true signs of the Lord, that people would follow the living God. I've seen a few documentaries on television programming, as I'm sure you have, where they've gone into some of these tribes and they're filming for different reasons, but all of a sudden they'll film a witch doctor or a sorcerer. And sometimes a person that seems so polite and so kind and their face is so beaming, but they're also mediums and they know how to contact the spiritual world. And they'll film these now, and you can see some of them, and you see how they get into a trance and certain things take place, and all of a sudden their face is twisted and grotesque, and there's a voice that comes out of them. See, there are spiritual powers, and those people have such hold on communities over the people of the village, over the clans, because of that demonic power. How much more does the Lord want to touch us, touch our families with his healing power, his deliverance, his glory. Hallelujah. So we open our hearts to receive and respond with the Lord. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads in worship. Moses and Aaron were sent down to deliver the people. And they came not only with the word of the Lord, they came with signs and wonders. And the Bible says when Moses did the signs, the people believed and said, Jehovah is God. And the Lord wants to touch us in that way. Now tonight I want to close. I want to close because we're going to pray for those who would like prayer for healing tonight, being set free. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 says, Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Outwardly, body, inwardly, your spirit. Listen to these words tonight. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? The principle of the Bible is that when you own something, you are responsible to take care of it. Does the Holy Spirit own you? This is a critical matter in the surrender of our lives and the ministry of the Lord to us. Does the Holy Spirit own you? Are you under the ownership of the Holy Spirit? Does he really own you, or do you own yourself? Do you only do what he wants, or do what you want? Do you only walk where he wants you to walk? Do you only go where he wants you to go? Do you only fill yourself with entertainments and recreations and activities that he wants? Or are you in charge of your own body and your own life? Because when the Holy Spirit owns you, he's responsible for you. I went to see my mother, as I do, but a few months ago I went up to see her. My mom, 94, my dad, 93, in great health. A couple aging things that are not of a painful disorder at all. And I went up and I said to Mom, as I sometimes do, Mom, how are you doing? She says, oh, wonderful. Her face is all aglow. She's aglow with the Spirit. She's filled with the Holy Spirit all the time, the presence of God. She can't talk about the Lord enough, his presence, his word. Mom, how are you? Oh, wonderful. I said, Mom, you know, it's amazing how you are. She says, well, the Lord is responsible for my health. The Lord is responsible for my health. When you are truly owned by the Holy Spirit, and you have nothing held back. All you want is Him and to serve Him in holiness and righteousness and do His will. Then He takes ownership of you, and He's responsible for you. And when we face trial, satanic attack, sicknesses, there is a confidence in our spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit, this is your body. A gift of healing, a working of miracles. We come with faith. We come with expectation. Sometimes there's a gift of healing that's given as somebody prays for us. There's a manifestation of the Spirit, and here's a free gift from the Lord through that person, and we're healed in a moment. Other times the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sometimes healing is a recovery. It takes time, but we came to the altar and the people of God prayed for us, and we walk out, and it might take a few days, it might take a few weeks, it might take a few months. It doesn't matter. We are on our way to recovery by the Holy Spirit. Our lives are not our own. And sometimes we come to the altar and we're prayed for and nothing really seems to change, but sometimes as we're in the presence of God and looking at our situation and seeking the Lord for discernment, sometimes the Lord will give us a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. You need to change your diet or this or that. Sometimes a word of discernment, you're fighting a spiritual battle. The Lord is processing something in my life right now. I'm going to keep claiming faith. I'm going to keep claiming the healing promises. I'm going to walk this out like Job and step out into a new day and a double portion with God. These are the healing realms, and the apostle said, I would not have you unlearned. So tonight, let's stand together, and we're going to open the altar tonight. Take a few minutes and pray for people. If you need a touch from the Lord in your body, would you slip out from where you are and come and stand at the altar before the ministry team comes and the prayer warriors? Come and take hold of the promise of God tonight. Say, Lord, tonight I'm coming and I'm going to take hold of a believing spirit. And from this night on, I'm going to contend for healing. I'm going to contend for the touch of God. My, the people of God need healing, don't they? The Lord is our gracious healer. The great physician is here. He's here. He loves to heal His children. He loves to touch us. We present ourselves before Him, and the first thing tonight, make sure that the Holy Spirit owns you. Are you saying things that the Holy Spirit wouldn't say? Are you going places? Are you taking in things into your life that the Holy Spirit is not pleased with? Then cast that aside tonight. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm totally yours. I give you responsibility, ownership of this temple in a fresh new way. Guide me and lead me. I place myself in your will. Heal me as you will, when you will, how you will. But I know you're the God of healing, and I put my trust in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray tonight. My, many people to be prayed for tonight. Those who want to come and lay hands on people tonight and touch them. But Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. We are nothing. He is everything. We belong to Him. Lord, I'm yours. Now touch me. Touch this temple, Holy Spirit. I want to be able to walk and fulfill ministry. I don't want to be hindered. Show me your ways in me tonight. Hallelujah. So, Father, we lift our hearts and our hands and we offer our bodies to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit, Lord. These come by your sovereign will. According to your will, Lord, tonight, however you would move among these brothers and sisters, Lord, at the front, Father God. Gifts of healing and workings of miracles and recovery, Lord. A new day, Father God. A new believing, Lord, that we would not be those of unbelief, that you would not have to marvel at our unbelief, Lord, and our discouragement, but Lord, we would stand with you knowing, Lord, in your timing and your will, you do all things well in us. So we thank you for healing tonight. We thank you for healing. We claim the promise of God. We claim the promise of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask the Lord to heal you tonight. Jesus, I need a touch. I need a touch from you. You're our Heavenly Father. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask Him, to His children? So, Lord, we rest ourselves in your promise tonight. We rest ourselves in your presence. Let the healing ministry flow tonight, Lord. According to your word, according to your word. Confirm your word with signs following tonight, Lord, in people's lives. Let it be a new day in them, Lord, a new dedication, a new surrender, a new consecration, a new healing, a new wholeness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you. Injuries, Lord. Ailments, Father. Satanic attacks tonight in Jesus' name. Your mighty name, Lord. Let your presence cover us. Let your presence cover us, Lord. As we stand here together, Lord, calling on your name, calling on your presence. Hallelujah. 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 Point of faith tonight. Point of faith tonight. Lord, where we've been discouraged, Father, where we've become kind of passive, Lord, tonight we take up the promises of God. We believe we'll walk with you, Lord. We'll walk with you, Lord. Receive the resurrection life. Receive the foretastes of our heavenly inheritance, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes, we were healed. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes, we were healed. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You're so good, Lord. You're so good, Lord. We talk of all your wondrous works. We speak of your power tonight, Lord, of your miracle hand, O Lord, of your loving kindness, your gentle ways, Lord. How you care for your people tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, that you would move among us right now, Lord. My Lord. Thank you, Lord. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall...